She knows not to talk to me or my child. My neighbor looked at me and smiled, and I thought to myself, oh, Tom, can I use and carry bad news? The seeds of distrust, it will sow. In your life, be careful of the stones that you throw. A car sped by with the screaming of the brakes, a sound that made my blood chill. But that same neighbor's one child had been pulled from the path and saved by a girl lying still. The child wasn't hurt, and my neighbor cried out, oh, who was that brave girl so sweet? I covered the crushed, broken body and said, the bad girl that lived down the street. You better be careful of the stones that you throw.
You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Got to pray. You see, this is an area here that could be hindering your blessing, because prayer is a place where you receive divine instructions. Prayer is a place of download, where God downloads his will into your spirit. Now you know what to do. Sometimes you don't know what to do. You spend some time praying. God revealed his will. He download. He give you the instructions. So if you don't ever pray, if you don't pray regularly, then you're not going to hear enough to be accurate in your decision making. You'll be making decisions based on your own desire, which could be wrong, could be right. It's a chance. It's like shooting dice. But you need to pray. Okay? All right, number three. How about your worship and praise life? How you doing in that area? Everybody know we should praise God continually. How many of y'all know Psalm 34:1? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be. His praise shall how often? His praise is where? Continually in your mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So your praise life is very important, because if you don't develop an attitude of praise and worship, then the devil will target you with murmuring, complaining, fault finding, and you'll never be satisfied with anything if you don't learn how to praise God through the good times and the bad. How many know we all experts at good time praise? How many of y'all can praise God when you got a pocket full of money? How many can praise God when you're feeling good? Hallelujah. How many can praise God when everything going your way? All right, what if a curveball come? Somebody throw you a knuckleball. Can you praise God when things are not going good? That's a real test of your character. Can you praise God when it's not going your way? Amen. So his praise shall continually be in our mouth. Hebrews 13:15 says, I will offer unto him the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of my lips, giving thanks unto his name. So praise also involves thanksgiving. How are you in the thanksgiving department? Have you been thankful? Are you thanking God? How are you doing in praise? Did you praise God today? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Okay, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. How many times you praise today? Did you praise him today? Did you thank him today? Did you thank him for your blessing? Amen. Did you have a grateful heart today? See, these things are really important, because Satan will always try to get you on the negative side of life. Y'all remember Papa Ron said that 86% of the people have a negative mindset. And that's what we confront every day. People that are negative. People that are not believing God. You got a lot of people out there that is ungrateful, unthankful. And the Bible says that's a sign of the last days, is that people will be unthankful and unholy. The Bible talks about scoffers in the last day. That's people that just criticize, find fault with everything. They ain't satisfied with nothing. How's your praise life? Are you praising God? Amen. Do you continually give glory to God? Well, if you're not giving glory to God, your faith is running about 50%. Because part of your faith is giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he promised he's able to do. You're not seeing the unseen when you're not giving glory. How's your praise life? I just want to know if you're praising him. Do you live in an attitude of praise? Are you thankful? Do you have an appreciative, grateful heart? Do you murmur and complain about the situation and circumstance of life more than you praise and thank God? That's a good test right there. Do you complain and murmur more than you praise God? Actually, the Bible says that we should murmur at all. Not if we're trusting God to make a difference in our life. Amen. Get your praise in order. Tell your neighbors to get your praise in order. Tell your neighbors to get your shout back. You see, when you get on the negative side of life, you lose your shout. That's one way you can tell if your praise is out of order, because you ain't got no shout. You got to keep your shout. We ought to be able to praise God no matter what we're going through. I may be hurting on the inside, but I can still praise God. Amen. And if I know if I praise God, then God going to come to my rescue because he inhabits the praises of his people. God will come and get right involved in my situation. All right, number four, how's your love walk? So I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm putting you in remembrance. You're supposed to walk in love. That's a commandment. That's not if you want to. That's not an option. That's not a suggestion. That's not a recommendation. That is a commandment. We are commanded to love each other. Just like we got 10 commandments on the wall out there, let me tell you, this is a new covenant commandment here. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love each other like I loved you. That's a command from the master, from the commander in chief. Love is the royal law. It has to be genuine. The Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. The Bible says, don't let us love in tongue, but in deed and in truth, not in word only. So just telling somebody you love them is not love at all. That's a part of it, but that's not the whole gambit. Love is an action. So we have to love each other. Love and holiness go hand in hand. If you walk in love, you'll also walk in holiness, because the Bible says that Romans 13:8 says that love worketh no ill to its neighbor. So if you're walking in love, you're not trying to hurt anybody. You don't have a revenge spirit on you. Anybody come in with a revenge spirit on them? You got somebody you got to get them? You asking God to help you get them? You are believing God for wisdom on how to get them good. How to pay them back. I'm going to tell you, that's a wrong spirit. Your love walk is important. This is one of those areas that will block the blessing. Your blessing will be blocked if you don't walk in love. You have to work on your love walk, because I'm going to tell you, you'll be tested in this area. Every time I teach on walk in love, we have more opportunity for you to get in strife with somebody. People rub you the wrong way. Most of the time when you're hearing on walking in love is when you have your greatest challenges to love others. How's your love walk? Do you have any strife in your heart? Are you bitter? Do you have ill will towards somebody? You know, you just can't stand them. If somebody told you they got hit by a truck, you'd rejoice. You'd be praising God. Well, you know, there's people that's like that. When they hear something, like they have an enemy. When they hear something bad, they say, well, that's good for them. You got anybody in your life that you, if something bad happened to them, you say, that's good for them. I knew it was coming. That tell me you wasn't praying for them. And Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Didn't he? All right. Do you have any unforgiveness? Are you holding a grudge in your heart towards any person? Do you hate or despise anyone? Are you walking in disobedience in this area? You have to keep your heart and your conscience clean. You got to stay clean. You got to walk in love. How's your love walk? Who had a challenge in their love walk today? Let me see your hand. Just a few of y'all. Well, just keep living. Because this is Jesus' number one command in the new covenant, believe me, the devil will come after you in this area to keep you from obeying that command. You're commanded to love. It's not people that treat you nice that we have problem loving. It's people that cross you, people that betray you, people that use you, people that do those kind of things is the ones you have to keep your heart straight with. Everybody keep your heart straight. Praise God. How's your love walk? Keep your heart clean. All right, number five, your character and your morals. What kind of fruit are you producing? Galatians 5:22 tells you the right kind of fruit. Galatians 5:19 to 21 tell you the wrong kind of fruit. The Bible says in Romans 14:16, avoid all appearance of evil. Avoid all appearance of evil. If it look wrong, stop it. How's your morals? Do you have good morals? If you're single, are you keeping yourself pure? Are you morally sound? Do you compromise your values? What is your predominant character trait? Are you angry all the time? Are you hostile? Are you depressed? Are you joyous? Are you gentle or are you harsh? Are you quick-tempered or are you patient? Are you judgmental and critical or merciful? Are you easily agitated or easy going and long-suffering? You know, when somebody looks at your life, what flavor do they get from your life? Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness? Do you have good morals? That means you don't steal. It means that you're honest. It means that you're not fornicating or committing adultery. It means, you know, you have integrity. How's your character? What do you do when nobody's looking? Do you have a problem in private with sin? Okay, everybody can shout on Sunday morning, but what you do on Monday, Tuesday? Then some people, they start repenting on Wednesday evening because they don't want the Lord to tell on them. On Wednesday night, don't want them gifts working. See, we shouldn't be praying for the gifts not to work. Oh, Lord, don't give Pastor a word of knowledge about what I've been doing. Let him stay up there at the front. Don't let him walk down the aisle where I'm at. Oh, he coming. He knows something. I know he know. You see how he looked at me? If you live a good, clean life, you don't have to even be concerned about any of that. See the bondage that puts you under when you're not living right? The fear that come on you, the peace that you miss. Keep your character and your morals straight. Don't be sleeping around. Be honest. Go to work on time. If you got a 30-minute lunch break, take 30 minutes. Don't take an hour. Don't cheat. Don't defraud other people. Don't take advantage of others. Be honest in all your dealings. The Bible says provide things honest in the sight of all men. So keep your morals. How you doing on your morals and your character? Is your character in check? Praise God. Number 6, your warfare. There's another area here. The Bible says we're to resist temptation and to resist the devil. 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about God giving us the ability to say no to temptation. He always makes a way of escape. Then James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How you doing on spiritual warfare? Have you just laid down and let the devil have his way? Are you running from the devil? Are you scared? Are you walking in the authority that God gave you? Are you using the name of Jesus every day? Are you waking up, coming after the devil, or are you in a defensive mode? Just trying to keep the devil off of you. Are you going after him? When you walk with God, he'll make you an instrument of righteousness. It means you'll be going after the devil. You'll be looking for somebody to witness to. You'll be looking for somebody to pray for. You'll be looking to lay hands on somebody for God to heal them. Instead of just trying to maintain. How you doing in your warfare? Are you overcoming sin? The Bible says don't be overcome. Romans 12:21 says don't be overcome of sin, but overcome sin or evil with good. Don't be overcome by evil. Don't let evil win. You're not supposed to let evil win. Evil things should not be triumphing over you. You should be triumphing over evil. The Bible says overcome evil with good. Are you winning? How you doing on warfare? Jesus gave us power and authority over the devil in Luke 9:1 and Luke 10:17. He gave us power and authority over the devil. And then in Mark 16, said these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. You're supposed to be driving the devil. He ain't supposed to be driving you. You're supposed to be casting him out. He shouldn't be casting you out. Are you exercising your God-given authority? See, sometimes when you don't take authority over situations in your life, the blessing that God wants to bring in your life is hindered. Sometimes people pray, Lord, take care of this devil. Well, he told you to do that. He told you to resist the devil. You can't find one scripture in the Bible where God told us to pray to him to take care of the devil. Paul says, stand against him. That means oppose him. I mean, take his challenge. Don't just lay down and let things happen. Don't just roll over and say, well, you know, sometimes things just don't work out. You know, sometimes you just got to learn to cope with some stuff. No, you learn to take authority. Move in that authority that you have in Jesus' name. Take that name. Take the blood. Amen. Take the word of God. Those are your weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You got to take authority over your mind. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just having a problem with my mind. Well, let me tell you, you can take authority over your thought life. You can make yourself think right things. Cast down those imaginations of you doing wrong. Nope, I don't do that. When the devil give you a picture of you doing something wrong, you need to challenge him. Nope, I don't do that. I cast that down in the name of Jesus. Take authority over your mind. The Bible says, think on these things. Whatever things are good and lovely and pure and holy and just. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You have control over your thought life. The Bible says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26:3. You can focus your mind. Everybody say, I'm going to focus my mind. You can focus your mind in the direction that you want to go in. Don't let the devil have access to your mind. The Bible says don't give him any place. Well, the first place he's going to look for is your mind. Because if he can get control of your thought life, then he can take you down any road he wants to. If he can get you to buy off on what he's thinking, what he's telling you, and you come in agreement with his thoughts, you got trouble. How's your thought life? That's part of the warfare. Peter talked about how the flesh will war against the soul. Can't give the devil a place in your mind. You need to have God's word in your mind. That's why reading, meditation, study will fill your mind with God's thoughts. And light will be there. Don't give your mind to ungodly stuff. This is a warfare that's going on. When you give your mind to the wrong kind of music, when you place the wrong kind of pictures before your eyes, that stuff will lodge in your mind. You're not supposed to be listening to music that doesn't glorify God, that's got profanity in it, and talking about doing some of the most ungodly stuff. You shouldn't give your mind to that kind of stuff. Your mind belongs to God, and you fill your mind with godly thoughts. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. That means that we're in a process of being changed so we can have the mind of Christ, so we think like he thinks. Well, if I ever start thinking like Jesus on a high level, you're talking about some power being released. Because he don't think like a normal man. That natural man understanding not the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him. But when you start thinking like God thinks, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see signs. You're just going to have God do all kinds of wonderful things in your life. You won't be afraid of any challenge when you have God's thoughts on the situation. And that happens through praying and getting in that word. How's your warfare? Are you overcoming? Are you casting out? Are you resisting? Are you standing against the devil? I found a scripture over in Psalms said you can push him down. Just push him out of the way. How do you do it? You do it with the word. That's how Jesus handled him. It is written. See, but if you ain't got no word in you, then you don't have nothing to resist him with. He has disarmed you if you're not in that Bible. Took your sword from you. Now you can't hurt him. Now he can come around you and be comfortable. The devil really ought to be nervous when you get up. That's why you need to confess the word. See, all this is a part of it. You start confessing that word, you are declaring things that haven't maybe materialized yet, but you believe those things. You're saying things about yourself that maybe your mind, you know, ain't even agreement with, but your heart, you believe it because you know it's true. I remember the first time I read Charles Capps' little book. Boy, I had trouble with that little book. The minister told me, get that book. Saying if you do it 3 times a day for 30 days, it'll change your life. Well, I've always been one to take a challenge. Somebody tell me something's going to change my life, I'm going to find out. So I did it, and I read that book. I carried it around in my shirt pocket. I did it 3 times a day. In 30 days, I was a different man. I had a different mindset, a different attitude about life. My mind had been renewed to the will of God. But I had trouble with it at first when it said, part of that confession was, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Boy, I start ducking and everything. I said, oh, Lord. I say, now I'm going to line here. Man, I ain't none of this stuff. But, you know, I just stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it until, you know, after a few days, I say, well, this is what God said. If God said I'm this, I must be this. So I just learned to get in agreement with God. I learned to align my thoughts with his thoughts. So your warfare is important. How you doing on spiritual warfare? Are you coming against the devil and binding him? Resist the devil and he will do what?
Flee.
All right, he'll flee from you. He will run. That'll tell you something right there. A person that's submitted to God can resist the devil and the devil will run from him. He don't want you to see that picture at all, him running. But that's the picture that the Holy Ghost gave us. The Holy Ghost know the truth. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will run from you. That's why he walk about seeking whom he may devour, because he can't devour everybody. There's some people that he run from. There's some people he don't mind approaching. But there's some people he's very cautious when he get around. You need to be one of them ones that he's very cautious. Number 7, and this is the final one. How you doing on your relationships? This is a checkup. That's what we're doing tonight. How you doing on your relationships? Do you have good, godly relationships that you're nurturing? How you doing? Do you have people that you associate with regularly? I'm talking about in your own time. Sometimes you get assigned to a person at job on your job, ain't nothing you can do about that. But pray for them and keep witnessing to them. You know, sometimes you get assigned to work with a knucklehead. Somebody want to party all the time, or somebody with bad language. I don't work in that environment. But you can keep yourself in that environment. I'm talking about in your spare time when you have a choice on the company that you keep. Do you have good relationships? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:15 that evil companions corrupt good morals. You can't hang out with people that's bent on evil. The Bible says that you shouldn't hang out with froward people. The word froward means people that have a bent toward disobedience. People that just don't want to do right. They've been on. I mean, if you told them 100 times to do this right here, this is the right thing to do, they just have a certain bent about them that said, I'm going to do wrong. You shouldn't have close companions. I'm not telling you to be isolated and holier than thou. I'm not talking about that kind of attitude, because that's not the kind of attitude Jesus had. Jesus was a friend, and he hung out with sinners. And things like that. But I tell you what, they wasn't conforming him. Who was doing the conforming? They were doing the conforming. They were conforming to him. He was showing them the way. So if you got people like that in your life, you ought to be showing them the way to the cross. And if they'll have you and you can witness to them and tell them the truth, Then hang with them. But if they all want to do is they always a constant.